chapter 5. We'll get back into our preaching through Ephesians here for a sermon or two, perhaps. Ephesians chapter 5, and I'll read verse 14 by way of introduction. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 14. Wherefore he saith, awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the light of the Word of God. I thank you for Jesus, who is the light of the world. And God, I thank you for the living Word of God, that your Word changes us. Your Spirit renews us and regenerates us. I thank you for the work of your Spirit in our hearts. And Lord, I look to you now and I ask that you would fill me with your Spirit and help me to minister the Word of God to your church this morning, and fill my dear wife with your Spirit, relaying the message in sign. Fill Brother Brian with your Spirit in the nursery with the children. And God, I thank you for the worship we've had already this morning around your Word, the children's Sunday school hour, the adult Sunday school hour. What a privilege it is we have to break the bread of the Word of God here so often, and to apply your Word to our hearts and lives so that we can grow strong spiritually, Heavenly Father. We do thank you. We praise you for that. And this is a special time of year to us as we consider the celebration of your coming into this earth. And we're thankful, especially for the reason why you came, because of your great love for us. We never cease to be amazed at the price that you would pay simply that we might be with you one day. And Lord, I thank you and I praise you for that. And I pray that you would take the Word of God and apply it to our hearts today so that we can follow you more closely, so that we can grow and be edified. And might your Word go forth ever from this place, that the lost would be saved and that the saved would draw closer to you. And we thank you for the missions conference that we had and for the giving of your people, dear God. And now we look to you to fulfill those commitments. We trust you and help us to be faithful to that which we've committed. Thank you for faithful missionaries. Bless them, help them each one. And Father, we do pray. We do ask these things in Jesus' name for his glory. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. All right, preaching in the book of Ephesians again. I've entitled the message this morning simply, Awake! Awake! So if you're used to taking naps during this Sunday morning service, this is probably not the good one to do that. Awake! Paul writes, he says, Wherefore he saith, Awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Sleep is good for us. Physical sleep is a good thing. What do scientists tell us? That there are some good things that sleep does for us physically. Well, there's the healing of damaged cells. Your body does a lot of healing at night. While you're sleeping, while you rest. There's the boosting of your immune system. If you don't get enough sleep, you're liable to be sick often. That can be a cause of that. The obvious, recovering from the day's activities. They're tired at the end of the day. And sleep is good for that. Recharging your heart and cardiovascular system for the next day. We've all felt perhaps some of the negatives of sleep deprivation. Feeling drowsy, irritable, maybe sometimes depressed a bit. Struggling to take in new information at work, or maybe some difficult task, and maybe trouble remembering things or making decisions. Maybe craving more unhealthy foods, which could cause weight gain. Different negatives of sleep deprivation. Paul is calling us as believers to wake up. Verse 14, wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepeth. Wake up. Now, while physical sleep, well, let me just hit the pause button. Sleep is good for you, physically. There are some times it's not good to sleep, like when you're driving. You don't want to sleep when you're driving. Not a good time for the jelly neck head bob. And you all know what I'm talking about. You know, that comes along when you get tired. They're driving. Not a good time. When you're having a conversation with your wife. <Uh-oh>. Or your husband. Not a good time for a quick snooze, okay? At work. Not when you're supposed to be working. Not a good time for a little cat nap, all right? There are times it's sleep is physically good for you, but there are times that it is not good to sleep. And as we look at this message today, we're going to find that, well, physical sleep is wonderfully beneficial. Spiritual sleep never is. Spiritual sleep is an enemy of the soul and of our spiritual growth. And so we're going to look at some of the characteristics of sleeping and see how they apply to our spiritual condition. See why it's not good to be spiritually asleep. By the way, there are times when all of us in our spiritual walk have some slumber. Do some sleeping. This is the first century church that Paul's writing to. I mean, Christianity hasn't even been around for more than a few decades, and it's to them he's writing to. Wake up! How much more us? Hundreds of years later, are we prone to fall asleep, especially in a land where there's so many blessings, especially when where we live, really compared to most of the world, we have so much comfort around us, at least in outward circumstances. Paul writes, wake up, wake up. From observing changes in behavior and responsiveness, scientists have noted the following characteristics that accompany and in many ways define sleep. Some things about sleep that's good physically that are not good in the spiritual realm. What are they? Here we go. Well, first of all, sleep is a period of reduced activity. Sleep is a period of reduced activity. And what does the Bible say about believers as we live for the Lord and serve him? 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye what? Steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. We are to be always busy about what God has for us to do. Now, those things may change as we get older, but God still has things for you to do. I don't plan from ever retiring from preaching. When I retire from preaching, it will be when I can't speak anymore, or when God and the church decide that maybe my calling is done, whatever it might be. I'm too old, or the mind's too frail, whatever it might be. I don't want to stick around beyond my usefulness either. But we never retire from being a Christian. You know, many Christians, they retire, and it's actually a time when they can be greatly used of the Lord. They might have more time after retiring from a job, maybe to disciple a new convert or something. And yet what? They've got a retirement all planned out. It seems to take them away from serving God in some ways. Just being busy about whatever it is God has us to do. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. Not retiring from serving the Lord. Our areas of service, again, they might change through the seasons of life. But it should always be said of us, as it was said of Mary, when she anointed the feet of Jesus in Bethany there. Remember what the Lord said about her? She hath done what she could. She hath done what she could. That's been a comforting verse to me. And the Bible says, let every man prove his own work. I often question my faithfulness to God, my sincerity. By the way, we ought to do that. We judge our own selves. And I know that I don't have the gifts maybe that some pastors and such do. And perhaps I have some that they don't. But the thing is, God says that she had done what? What she could do. All God requires of me is to do what I can do with the gifts that He's given me. And with the strength that He's given me. And by the way, that's all that He requires of you. What He's called us to do. And if we'll do that, what? With all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, He will be pleased. Being in service to the Lord. Waking up, and I'm going to liken this lesson on sleep. My thing, I'm going to make a lot of noise there. My pocket or something. I'm going to liken it to like when I get out of bed in the morning. This awake. The first point, wake up. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest. That's when I hear the alarm go off. I'm in bed, you're in bed, and what? You're not out of bed yet. Matter of fact, you haven't even, the alarm went off, but you hit the snooze button. You're kind of rolling around, you're kind of waking up. That's kind of the Holy Spirit convicting you. Maybe showing there's an area in your life where you're sleeping a bit. And You're kind of becoming aware of that. You're tossing in your bed. You're kind of become aware now that of things around you. So liken it to that part of sleep where you're kind of waking up. Awake to the things going on around you. These characteristics of sleep, while good physically, don't bode well for us in the spiritual realm. Sleep is a period of inactivity. And God doesn't have that for us. He's always got something for us to do. Someone for us to be ministering to in some way. What's another characteristic of sleep? Sleep is associated with a typical posture. In human beings, it's lying down with your eyes closed. lying down with your eyes closed. And those are postures that do not bode well spiritually, do they? The Bible says that the opposite of us, that we are to, 1 Corinthians 16:13, watch ye. Know what's going on around you spiritually. Know where you're at spiritually in God's will. Watch ye. Stand fast in the faith. Stand. Quit you like men. Be strong. Galatians 5:1 we saw in our study. Stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. Be not again entangled with the yoke of bondage. Standing fast. Brother Dennis mentioned this morning in the lesson about meekness. Meekness is not weakness. Meekness is power under control. When you see a rider on a horse, that horse is strong. I'm going to tell you something. Those hindquarters, those legs, those muscles, that is a strong animal. And yet the rider's up there, and he's steering that horse how? Just with a little touch of the rein on each side of the neck. That's it. And that horse has power under control, you see. Meekness is not weakness. And God has for us that we are to stand. Brother Dennis was talking about when people criticize us, when might it be time to say something? If they criticize something about the faith, or it's when they do criticize something. Somebody may say something bad about us, and we may not say anything. That's fine. But then somebody begins to criticize something about our Lord, or about the faith, or about the Bible. That's not time to what? Be lying down with our eyes closed, is it? Yeah. That's time to be standing up for the Lord. And by the way, not in a hateful way, in a firm, calm, loving way. I love the Lord. Please don't use his name like that. It's just standing up for the Lord. I'm a Christian. I wish you wouldn't talk about my Lord that way. He loves you. He died for you. You hear somebody take the Lord's name in vain. Hey, there's a good opportunity for a quick gospel message. Did you know he loves you and died for you? That'll make somebody stop and think about who he is and about, by the way, who you are, who I am. Standing for the Lord, standing for the things of God. Another characteristic about sleep is a decreased responsiveness to external stimuli. You're not aware of what's going on around you. Somebody might say something, you don't hear it. By the way, that's never good in the spiritual realm to not be hearing the Lord, amen? And not be responding to the things that are around us, the teaching and preaching of the Word of God, the reading of the Word of God. A decreased responsiveness to external stimuli. Hebrews 5:10 says this. It says that Jesus Christ is called of God and high priest after the order of Melchizedek. Of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. Those Hebrews had gotten tired of hearing the preaching and teaching of the Word of God. They figured they knew enough to get along just fine in life now. We don't need to keep learning. And so they fell asleep. They began to slumber spiritually. They weren't as awake to the teaching and preaching of the Word of God. Hebrews 5:12. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God. Everyone who's been in our church for a year or more ought to be able to show how to lead somebody to Christ. Not just you doing it yourself, you ought to be able to show somebody else how to lead somebody to Christ in the Bible. And it's really very simple. You can pick up one of our tracts back there, the God's Bridge, and that takes you right through the Bible. That's how you can lead somebody to Christ. Every verse, right? You can just go page by page with that tract. and lead somebody to Christ. A responsiveness to the Word of God. Another thing about sleep. Sleep is a state, where your body temperature, through the process known as thermoregulation, the temperature of our body is controlled by mechanisms such as shivering, sweating, changing of blood flow to the skin. So the body temperature fluctuates minimally around a set level during wakefulness. Just before we fall asleep, our bodies begin to lose some heat to the environment, which some researchers believe actually helps to induce sleep. So just before we fall asleep, we cool down just a bit. And that's never good in our spiritual life. You see, it's never good to cool down in your spiritual life. If there's ever a time when you were more zealous for God than you are now, then you're backslidden. If there's ever a time when I was more zealous for God than I am now, then I'm backslidden. That's just the truth. We're not on fire for God as we once were. And it's never a time to cool down. It's never a good thing to cool down in the Christian life, in our love for God. That church at Ephesus in Revelation chapter 2 that was commended for their labors. But then Jesus said at the end in Revelation 2:4, "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love." You're busy. You're laboring hard, he was saying to that church. You're faithful. But as I look at your hearts, it's not as much out of love as it used to be. It's become more mechanical. You're doing all the same works, but some of it has become just because you've been doing them for so long. When you started doing them, you were compelled by love. That's cooled off in your heart, I see, is what Jesus was saying. That's the first works. Their beginning works were motivated by love. And that began to cool down. And it was just a habit. It was just going through it. Christ said to the church at Laodicea, "I know thy works," Revelation 3:15, "that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth." And here's the reason why in our country it's so easy to cool off. He says, "Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked." Listen, how many of you like a good lukewarm cup of coffee? Most people like it hot. Or they like the cold. What do they call those? They got the iced coffee and such. Not many people like it lukewarm. I have to have it so if I can take a big swallow, it's not hot enough. I have to. That's the way. And God wants our hearts that way toward Him. "Awake, thou that sleepest." What's He saying there? What is that spiritual sleep? It is to yield to sloth and sin. To be indifferent to one's salvation. We need to be stirred up, don't we? We need that fire, that fire stoked. What happens when the fire burns a long time but it's not stoked? The ashes begin to pile up. Frankly, the fire begins to go out. But when you stoke it, you stir it up a little bit, that air comes in, and what happens? You put your hand, you feel the heat right away, don't you? Those coals begin to glow. And we need to be stirred up so often. Paul wrote to Timothy, "Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands." And folks, if Brother Timothy needed stirred up in the first century, I think we need stirred up now, don't you? Oftentimes we do. Peter wrote this in 2 Peter 3:1. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. Stir it up! Renew that excitement, that zeal for God. By the way, you don't have to focus too long on Calvary to be stirred up. If you've lost some of that flame, you just think about what Jesus went through when he came, and what he came here to do. He came here to die. I didn't come out here to Corvallis to die. Now I may die out here, but that wasn't the reason that we came out to plant a church. And whenever, if I get discouraged, I think about my Lord. He came to earth what? To die. It was his death, not mine, that was needed for the church. That's what he came for. And I think, wow. He ministered in that way, and his end goal on earth here, at least in his ministry, was to die. What did he say on the cross? It is what? Finished. And it wasn't finished until he gave up that ghost and died. In fact, it wasn't finished until he rose again. Should it make any difference in your life and mine that we've been redeemed? That we've been born again? We're called a child of God to be a witness for Jesus Christ. Should we not be stirred up and be witnesses to those that are around us? If I go much longer, I'll just finish the sermon tonight. We'll still have some testimonies. Jonah, you remember on the boat? He told the men that he was a Hebrew. He worshipped the God who made the heavens and the earth. But he was running from God, wasn't he? That great storm came along. And all those people on that ship began to cry out to their gods, who were false gods. And Jonah was asleep in the ship. And so as they're about to die in this great storm that God has sent because of Jonah's rebellion, the Bible says, so the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, what meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us and we perish not. He's a sleeper. See, he knew God's will. What did God say? Jonah, go to Nineveh and preach. And Jonah said to God, no, thank you, God. I'm going on vacation the other way. That's basically what he said. And God says, well, I have a trip planned for you, Jonah. And he had an ocean cruise, all right, but he was underneath the ocean. Matter of fact, when he was in that whale's belly, he thought about this. All those men on that ship were crying out to their false gods. And their false gods couldn't save them. Finally, they dragged Jonah, wake him up, and they say, what do we do? And Jonah says, throw me over and you'll be fine. And they did. They tried to avoid that. First of all, surely we can't throw this prophet, because now they know he knows the true God. They know he knows the true God. We got it. We're ready to keep rolling. But then the storm didn't stop. Then they realized, oh, we got to do it. And they threw him over. And immediately, the sea was calm. And inside that belly of the whale, Jonah repented. And he decided he was going to do God's will. And as he's thinking about those men inside the belly of that whale, he said, they that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. What he was saying is, he was picturing them crying out to those false gods, and they couldn't save him. If all those men had to cry out to was their false gods, they'd have drowned on that trip. But because Jonah knew the true God, and they and somehow got connection with him through him, they were spared. What an amazing thing. We ought to be stirred up about that. This awakening is an exhortation that Paul has given throughout his letters. It's not Romans 13, 11. That knowing the time, that it is now high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than we believed. High time. It seems like that there was always a need to wake the church up. High time to wake out of sleep. He says, what is that waking up? Romans 13, 12. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let's therefore cast off the works of darkness. Let's put on the armor of light. That's the waking up. The waking up. And he put it this way in 1 Corinthians 33. Awake to righteousness and sin not. So we have the waking up. That's the Spirit stirring us. Secondly, we have the rising up. And rise up. Rise up. The alarm's gone off. Hit the snooze button once. Now the alarm's gone off again. Rise up. What is this now in the waking process? Well, the alarm's gone off. You already hit the snooze button, but now the snooze button went off again. And you have what? You have determined. I'm awake now. Guess what? It is time to move. It's time to get up. It's time to get out of bed. And when the Holy Spirit has shown you, begins to work on you, He makes you aware that you've fallen asleep in some areas of your Christian life. And this part of rising up is when now you have said, that's it. I'm going forward. I need to get up. I need to get this thing right. And I need to go forward. And this is that part of waking up, that rising up. Therefore, he says, awake thou that sleepest, here it is, and arise from the dead. Walk in that spiritual life. We sing many songs of deciding to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. I have decided to follow Jesus. I am resolved no longer to linger. It's that point of resolve, that point of decision, that point of yielding. We sing those songs. Follow, follow, I would follow Jesus. And on we go. God said through Jeremiah 29:13, ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. With all your heart. With all your heart. This is being a follower of Jesus Christ. Follower of Jesus Christ. John 8:12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. Here it is. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. Followeth me. We've had some people on visitation in this past year who have received Christ as Savior. But for whatever reason, they've not decided to follow Him. We've been back multiple times to them to encourage them to come to church, to encourage them to discipleship. Would you like to meet? We'd love to have you come. It's God's will for you to grow. They're not here. You say, well, are they saved? God knows and they know. But I do know this, they haven't decided to be a disciple yet. They might have woken up, they might be tossing and turning on the bed with the conviction of the Spirit, but they haven't, risen up yet. They haven't made that decision. I want to follow Jesus. I want to follow Jesus. And God will bring us all, must bring us all to that in this process of waking up. All right. And I think I'm going to finish this message tonight. And then whatever time we have left, we'll maybe take a few testimonies. So tonight we'll look at Wise Up. fill up and offer up, finishing the message tonight. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your blessings, your goodness, and God, so often it's sobering to see that before even all the Bible was written, that your preachers and your prophets were telling the church to wake up. It's a sobering thought, God, how easily we can fall asleep spiritually. We can forget what you've called us to. And Father, in so doing, we're missing our own joy. We're forsaking our own mercies, like as Jonah talked about those lost people. You have so much for us here now, God, in walking in your will. And we'll never be satisfied short of being disciples. We'll never be satisfied on this earth as believers short of being filled with your Spirit. And God, what it takes for us to realize that is sometimes amazing. Father, we can realize it by faith and trusting your word and following it, but we can also realize it by failures when we try to go another way and find out it doesn't work. And we thank you for those failures in that case, because we needed them. Father, I thank you for how you watch over us. We saw that recently in your word, how you take care of our lot. We're always to be thankful for you in the abundant care that you have over every one of us as believers. Father, I pray that we would just continue to yield to you. Your word would continue to go forth from this place. God, may every person that we minister, may those we minister to, receive you as Savior and become a child of God. May every child of God, dear God, want to dwell in the shadow of your wing and walk close to you, that we might glorify your name and that we might have that life which is more abundant. I thank you so much for this church, Father. Thank you for the yielding of the Spirit and this thing of giving to missionaries and for the sweet fellowship that we have together. Father, we are sober and we want to be honest with ourselves. As I've mentioned, Father, we all sleep at times and therefore, we all need this. And I pray, dear God, that we would just go forward as your Spirit enables us and as our hearts turn to you. Dear God, simply to serve you faithfully and to occupy until you come. Help us to be faithful in that. We do pray in Jesus' name. Amen.